Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. On a Friday, we tend to try to stay on the bright side of the road. Van the Man Morrison.
Yeah, baby.
And joining me is the All Marine Radio head chef, Pete Kimball Holmes. Kim, what's going on? Big sports week.
Yes, a tremendous sports week. Good morning, Marines everywhere. Nice to be on board. Here we go, baby.
All right, what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about basketball or hockey?
Either way, you lead, baby.
All right. Give me your thoughts on the hockey game. I think it's the ghost of Bill Buckner, man. That's what I think. I think that the people of Boston.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. The people of Boston wronged that dude, and he passed away here recently, and he put a curse on their ass. And they'll say, "Oh no, we made a good amount." No, you didn't, man. You did not. You thought you like had him to the stadium one day, and that erases all the shit that the people of that city gave him for years and all the rest of that. Yeah, that's not the way it works. So I hope you enjoyed your success because it's over.
Yeah, you're not going to see another championship for years.
For
baby.
Years, maybe it
might even be 50, 100 years.
Yeah,
who knows,
man?
You're toast.
Because he was not a guy to let it go easily. So just so everybody knows, that's just a little look into the future for the state of Massachusetts. So the curse of Bill Buckner. That's right. So get used to it. But I didn't see the game. I was out in the desert doing my little post-traumatic winning. Give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, I thought it was an unbelievable game because they, for the first 16 minutes, it was nothing. And Boston had some spectacular shots on this rookie goalie. And he stopped everything. And then with the last 4 minutes, St. Louis scored. And then in the last 10, 15 seconds, they scored the second goal in the first period. And I went, uh-oh, something's going on here. And the crowd all of a sudden went silent. And they had 32 shots on goal all game. And they only got one goal. And I just, they had 33 shots because he stopped 32 of them. And that only goal they got was with about 4 or 5 minutes left, maybe 9 minutes left, I don't know, in the game. But by that time, it was 3-0, then 4-0. I mean, they just spanked them. It was in Boston to boot. So,
I was listening, driving home last night to the NHL Network, and they said everybody, you know, the attitude in Boston was, hey, man, this is championship city, right? We're home. But St. Louis has played, I mean, they played well on the road all year after they made their coaching change. And listening to those guys, I had about a 2.5-hour drive coming back from 29 Palms, so I listened to that most of the ways. And And they said, hey, look, you know, we played well since our coaching change, and we got better and better, and we knew that if we got up, we would win this thing. And it didn't matter where it was played, and that's the way we played all year. So it was kind of interesting. But they said that they, you know, the different reporters said that, you know, the people here, I mean, they thought they were going to win. And my son, Patrick, who's a huge hockey fan, he texted me, I can't believe you're not watching Game 7. I said, hey, man, duty calls, man, duty calls, I can't. And so yeah, it was, no, and then another one, just people might as well know this because the outcome will be decided, but we're actually recording this Thursday afternoon to play Friday morning because right now I'm speaking at Camp Pendleton. That's right. So two-thirds of the earth is covered
folks.
Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. Mac covers the other third right now. So big basketball game tonight. And
oh, yes.
So what do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Two separate questions.
Well, I want the Raptors to win.
Yes.
Win it all.
Okay.
But it's only game number 6, and you have to rip it out of Golden State's rigor mortis hands, man, take that trophy. And they proved that the other night in Toronto when they had a chance to close it out in 5 games.
Yeah. So, what's that? Who's the guy what's that guy's name for Toronto? Number 2. What's his name? I'm being stupid.
Oh God, so am I. Oh my God, what is his name? But they
he was doing his Michael Jordan's impersonation.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, man, this game's over. They were up by 6 with 2 minutes left.
Yep, they were. But
Kawhi
were also down by 14 at one time.
Kawhi Leonard.
The Raptors.
Kawhi Leonard, isn't it? Yeah, what'd he hit, like 4 shots in a row? Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you what, man.
Downtown.
Yeah, and then Golden State says, not so fast, my friend. And they got off the mat, and they... You know, Seth Curry, I mean, people cannot like him and his little beard and all the rest of that shit. Man, I'll tell you what, he drilled that shit, and you just went, oh, man. It's like, that's championship stuff. So, I love, we love, you know, high drama in sports, and it's pretty cool to watch guys perform under that kind of pressure. And but Golden State... They were amazing down the stretch. It was awesome to watch. So yeah, I'm rooting for Game 7. I'm not a Warrior fan. I grew up with one back in the old days when they had like Nate Thurman and Rick Barry and Cassie Russell and Jeff Barnett and who else was on that team? But Jamal Wilkes got drafted out of UCLA by Golden State.
That's right.
And
that's
they won their only NBA championship, and Jamal Wilkes was a part of it. So anyway, I used to be, but no longer. And but I want to see him win tonight or last night, and so to force Game 7 in Toronto because. You and I know Canadians, they don't really need an excuse to get it going, do they?
Not at all. And that town, outside the arena, there's more people on the street around it than there are inside. And they're great fans, and they've never won an NBA championship in their history. And it's it'll be fun to see them win it in Toronto.
Yeah.
I really hope they win it, and that country will go bananas. It's going to be quite a show up there. But you know, they're going to be tough tonight, but Golden Gate's going to come out tonight and just be lighting it up. They did that the other night in Toronto with 3 points. I think they made their first 4 or 5 3-pointers. I mean, they were 10 points up before you could.
But you know, it's,
get
it's,
your first
isn't it,
beer.
Isn't it crazy how in the NBA it's like, yeah, okay, don't go anywhere because it's ain't going to be the way it ends.
Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing that in basketball, it's like, all right, that's their run. You know, they're the other team's going to go on a run, and we'll settle this thing. We'll settle this thing in the last 2 minutes. But it's very cool, high drama. I've always, since I was a little kid, have always loved it. When you think of Game Seven, are there any Game Sevens that in your life that when you think about it that come to mind?
Oh geez, not right offhand.
You know the ones that I and they weren't always the NBA Finals, but the Celtics with Larry Bird. Man, that dude was
that. Yes.
He
intercepted that one pass.
He would
throw
just,
in by Magic Johnson.
Oh my God! And I can't remember how many points the Celtics were down, and all, boom, they went ahead, and you were like, "What just happened?"
Yeah, those games
were awesome
with Celtics with Larry Bird.
Magic Johnson. I mean, and then Michael Jordan and his craziness. So when I think of basketball and Game Sevens as growing up, and I don't watch very much basketball anymore, I will watch part of it tonight. When I think of basketball Game Seven, to me it was Lakers.
Those Lakers, yeah,
because they were like it was on, and those guys were incredible competitors, and Larry Bird just drill it too. He didn't get it right.
He was possibly the greatest, slowest white guy on the court ever. But his sense of where to be and his sense of basketball presence, and he always made the right pass. How did he do that?
Off the charts, man.
And he always was running like Steph Curry does. Steph Curry must run 10 miles a game. He never stops running. And Larry Bird never stopped moving. And then he'd get that pass and turn around and let it fly. And whoosh, there it went right through. So he was fun to watch. Magic Johnson that one year when he played every position.
Yeah, no shit, man. Remember
Kareem was out.
Yeah, and then let me tell you, so you're watching this, right? And he was a rookie, I think, wasn't he?
Yes.
It was like game.
First or second year.
Yeah, it was like game 6 or 7. And in the middle, he throws this fucking hook shot.
Yes. Yes.
You're like, what the hell? What can't this guy do, man?
Yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah. When you get teams that have chemistry like those guys did, and, I kind of think Toronto has that. Golden State certainly has that. But Toronto is doing it with one superstar and Leonard. But
the rest of those guys, the rest of those guys can play. I mean, to me, Toronto is like the quintessential team, and Golden State a lot of not without Kevin Durant, they're much more closer to being peers than. Although the biggest difference is, Golden State knows what it takes to win, and that championship thing is, I think it's something that you have to kind of live through. And I remember hearing Wayne Gretzky talk about it, and him talking about the first time they were in the Stanley Cup and they lost to the Islanders, and they said, and Gretzky said, you know, we walked by their locker room, and we stuck our heads in, and there was, you know, a lot of noise, and we were pretty bummed out, and but what we didn't, he and Kevin Lowe were walking to the bus, we stuck our heads in to congratulate him, and it wasn't the players that were celebrating so much as it was everybody else. He said, when we walked in there, we shook hands, and then we left. As we walked to the bus, he said, I looked at Kevin. He said, you know the difference between us and them? And he said, Kevin looked at me and said, what? He said, I said, they're completely spent. Look at them. They're spent. And we still have some in the tank. And he said, and that affected us. We talked about it the next year. And he said, you know, you have to learn how to be a champion. And that's not a small step. That's a big step. And Golden State showed it the other night. 6 points down, 2 minutes left. Yeah, mate.
Yep.
We ain't having that. Here you go.
Not tonight.
Not tonight, boys and girls. Not tonight. So, no. No,
if
but
we're
I'll tell
going
you
out, we'll go out at home or back in Toronto. But
yeah, but as you said, out of our cold, dead hands, you'll pry this thing.
Yes.
So
that's right.
Which is cool. Which is cool. Game That's 7. Cool. What's the coolest, I'll tell you what, the coolest high-pressure moment I think I've ever seen is Kurt Gibson's home run on that one-leg thing.
On one-leg home run?
Remember that?
Wasn't that amazing? And Tommy Lasorda chugging out of the...
Holding his fat ass.
And about a 3-inch vertical.
Not even that, man. He's like about a half-inch vertical.
I just giggled so much, but that was quite a shot.
And he fouled off all those pitches, and you when he hit it, you just went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was one.
When he hit it, you didn't think.
No, I did.
Oh, my God, it's going.
Guys like that get their hands extended like that. That thing's gone. And so I think that might be one of the most amazing high-pressure things I've ever seen in my life. Kurt Gibson on one leg in Dodger Stadium against an A's team that was supposed to just destroy him. That's pretty.
And Eckersley was on the mound.
Yeah.
Right? Dennis Eckersley.
Yep.
That's all right. But yeah, that was a good game too. And my Dodgers finally won.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Hey, here we go this year.
You know how that's going to end.
No, badly.
Yeah, I know. Dodgers too smart for their own good. They'll screw it up.
Yep. Roberts will find a way to lose it.
Hey, here's another thing I wanted to talk about. If you were David Ortiz, how pissed off would you be to find out that guys tried to kill you for $7,800?
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my.
That's how much that's how much they got paid, $7,800.
But who ordered that hit?
Well, I haven't seen anything that says that.
I'm betting they know who it was.
Well, they'll find out. If they know how much they got paid, I'm pretty sure they know who did it. And so, but I mean, come on. David Ortiz probably had that in his change purse.
Oh, come on. Of course he did. And he probably would have given the guy that money.
Hey.
He would have just come up and said, hey, I need some money.
I'll give you that. Hey, I'll give you twice that. If you go kill the dude that sent you down here.
Yeah. Amen.
How's that?
Boy, how fast was that plane Boston sent down there to bring him back to Boston?
Yeah. Yeah. No. If you got the money.
Sure.
They can do that stuff. What was the other thing I was going to tell you about that? Oh, no, but, you know, the thing about those injuries, I mean, when they go through your internal organs, I mean, those can be bad, they say you're up moving around, but, you know, those internal, you know, there's so many layers of organs that go through your abdomen. That can be.
And it yeah. got some of his liver.
Yeah.
The shot did. I heard they said it. I don't know what it was, but I haven't seen or heard exactly what kind of surgery they did to him again in Boston. But I sure hope Big Pappy's okay, because he's the kind of ball player that's just colorful and just a heart as big as he is.
Well, you know, and I think he won a spot in a lot of people's heart after the Boston Marathon bombing when he
yes,
went out.
He did.
And he said, he's not even from Boston, and he says, in broken English, this is our fucking city. Everybody was like, what?
What did you just say?
What did you just try to say? And right, he drops the F-bomb in the middle of all of it. But you know what? It was awesome.
Yeah, and you always see him in the World Series now in one of those panels predicting who's going to win and stuff. And I like this.
Well, I know. I mean, he's got... I mean,
this is our fucking city.
Hold on. So this... Yeah, this is David Ortiz. He walks out, right? And they didn't play, I want to say, the next day, maybe or two after that. And then they had all these people yeah. as the Red Sox went to play, and he goes out, and this is him. Oops. I think I need to turn it on. Oh, maybe I didn't. And this is hilarious.
This is our fucking city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
This is our fucking city, and nobody's gonna do something. Stay strong. And he walks off like it was all, and the place goes hysterical. Pandemonium breaks out. Awesome. So anyway, great. Yeah, but I mean, and if you've seen the video, he's just sitting at an open air club or something, and a dude walks up and just from the sidewalk and smokes him. So I don't know. So it'll be interesting to hear what the motive was. Somebody, you know, who crossed paths with who and whatnot. So, but it's for $7,800. You know, which is a lot of money, I guess, in the Dominican. So not you know, not good. So anyway, all right. Now we should probably talk a little bit about food, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, last week I said get your grilling stuff out, and hoping next week, please get some questions ready. If you have about grilling, and so we can tear into it, but get it, clean it up, turn it on, heat it up, clean the grates. You should clean the grates every time after you use
it. What do you, when you talk about like cleaning it, like, you know, most people have probably got it out already and done all that stuff to it.
Yeah.
Would you use an oven cleaner when you do, like, you know, an annual cleaning of it?
I absolutely do not.
You don't?
I have a gas grill.
Right.
And if I've got chicken or sometimes burgers, steaks, and it's all kind of, the fat's dripped and it's crusty, and I'm done using, when I take everything off, then I'll turn all the burners back up to high.
And no, I'll yeah, yeah, lid. No, that's on a daily basis. I'm talking about this thing sat all winter, and you're gonna fire it up again. And so when you, you know, bust it out, do you do anything in terms of cleaning it? That's different than what you would.
I polish the outside.
No, I'm talking about the grill. I'm talking about the grill.
Clean around, and I take the lid up, and I wire brush it But I don't put any oven cleaner on it. I do because when I put it to bed in the wintertime, I turn it on high, get it smoking hot, wire brush. I have this copper foot and a half long wire brush that I reef on the grates with, and then I shut them all off, and then I take a big used towel that I use and throw some oil, vegetable oil, on this towel, and then I wipe it on the grill, and it'll start smoking a little bit.
Right.
But then that puts kind of a protective coat on for the winter. And so it's spotless inside when you put the lid down, and I put my hood on it, and it sits out all winter. And I shut my gas line off, and then I just do that thing in reverse. Turn the gas line on, I crank it up, and get it quite hot, and then scrub it again real hard with the wire brush after I polish the stainless on the outside and cleaned it up from all the winter crap, and it's ready to go. That's all I do.
Okay, so nothing. I don't, nothing crazy.
You don't have to. You don't. If you clean it before you put it to bed in the winter, it makes it so much easier to get started in the spring.
All right, let's talk about if you don't do that. And you do have a bunch of, you didn't do that. You got some rust on it.
Yeah.
Anything you'd recommend to clean? You're essentially cleaning metal. And
yeah, a Brillo pad. This is how I did it as a kid. And we had a Weber kettle. And I was always had that damn Brillo pad out just scrubbing until I got down to the metal, and the grates looked new. And then, you know, now they have these serious wire brushes,
right.
And then they have, like you said earlier, that oven cleaner that you can spray on and let it sit overnight, and it percolates and breaks everything down.
Right.
And then you can just hose it down, and you know, you take it out of the kettle if it's a Weber, and hose it down, and then scrub it off, and then oil it,
right, and then oil,
and then crank it up and get it real hot, and then you can start what I just described.
You know, and that's to me what you've taught me over the years is just make sure you keep your grill oiled. And I mean, you could scrub stuff off it, but, right, the oil, I mean, you're talking about a metal grill, so the oil, right, is the coating that saves the metal, so you're not eating rust. So,
yeah.
So hello, so make sure you keep that thing on.
You want that coat on there to protect it through the winter and then to start out in the springtime. When you wire brush it and Brillo pad or whatever your scrub pad you use, but you know, and you get the corners and the nooks and crannies in those grates, man. You don't want the rust to start, because once the rust starts on those grates, you're toast.
Right. Then you got to scrub it every time and make sure that you got to get that stuff out of there. So. So coding. All right. Let's talk about cooking something pretty basic. Let's talk about cooking chicken.
Well, chicken,
not too hard.
You want to season it. Say you're going to do a barbecue chicken. You're going to do, chicken parts, like a chicken breast. Usually you have the bone in your chicken. The butcher cuts a whole chicken up. Or what the best way to do it for me is you have the butcher, or you can do it yourself if you know how to do it. You split the breastbone down the back, and then you get down, and then you take your knife and push it through, and you have two half chickens. And you rub it with oil, and not a lot of oil now, but you do want to have oil on your bird before, because you don't want to get the skin sticking to the grates.
What about, I mean, most people, again, this has changed since you and I were young, but...
Yeah.
Most people don't, you know, have skin on their, you know, most of the chicken is boneless chicken now, which is not the way we did it growing up, right? I mean,
no, they're bone and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's usually like chicken breasts or boneless, skinless chicken breasts.
Right.
That's fine. Right. They're the easiest thing to cook. But you still have to oil them, salt and pepper them. And if you want to marinate them overnight before you cook them with garlic, rosemary, and herb, thyme, whatever.
Well, let me ask
it
you this:
is.
So, I don't do any of that. I just put the chicken on, and then I mean I use the same barbecue sauce all the time, and so you kind of taught me, and you kind of explained. On more than one occasion, how we turn chicken black. So could you explain to everybody what exactly it is that's burning and turning, you know, the chicken black?
Well, it's the intense heat that and you're not watching it. And if you leave it on too long, those grates get so hot. They go from brown to black in a matter of minutes.
Okay, that's the wrong answer. The answer that you gave me before is the sugar in the sauces, you know.
You said you didn't put anything on it when you put it on.
Oh, no, no. I meant
oil.
Right.
But when you start to, put your sauce on, you brush your sauce on the meat, and the sugars, you've got to wait till your chicken's just about cooked before you put the sauce on it, the last 10 minutes. And you brush the sauce on, and then you turn it over, and it should be off the direct heat.
Right. So if you think about it, right, you let the cook,
yeah.
you can season the chicken a little bit, and you can cook it on direct heat, but you're not going to sauce it on direct heat. You're not going to, you know.
Oh, no. Hell no.
So the days of you standing there with the squirt gun and the sauce and, right, the fat dripping out of the skin, right, the flame, like, blowing up, and all, that, those days are done. You get to.
I told Mac, I told this story to you guys before, but when I was growing up, my mother and father would put the barbecue sauce on the chicken when it was raw and throw it on the grill. And that's how I got, I learned what not to do.
Everybody kind of did it like that, right?
If you like burnt chicken. Everybody did it. Nobody had figured it out by that time.
How stupid is that?
You cook the chicken, and the last 10 minutes, you brush the sauce on the chicken, and it sticks on the sauce beautifully, and then it caramelizes a little bit, but it's not on direct heat. Otherwise, it'll still get black because it's too much heat, and there's plenty of heat in that whatever grill you use. But you take that chicken when you're saucing it off the heat, and you brush it, and you turn it, and you let it set up, You can turn it. You can put layers of sauce on and just turn it over a few times. And then when you get the chicken, you're eating the chicken, you get great sauce and it penetrates the meat. It's very good. Very good. But don't cook it sauced on direct heat.
But when we were kids, man, they'd open the lid of that thing. Flames are shooting out, man. Eyebrows are getting burned.
I'm going to have a nightmare tonight about that.
Right? Squirt bottles are going off. Like, right. And there was so much more fat, I mean, especially with chicken, because there was fat inside the skin, that stuff would start to flame.
That's what the skin is all fat. But yeah, it's, barbecuing has become a high art form now. And, I'm sure everybody is very aware of how to use the grill.
Well, no, but again,
folks
not
out there who don't have a clue.
Not till somebody really explains it to you. And you explain it to me, and then all of a sudden somebody says, like, okay, you know, you let it cook, right? You get it, you know, you get it close to where you want it. You move it to indirect heat, and that's when you put the sauce on. And it's like, oh, so I guess there's not going to be a raging fire. No, there's not. And so so I'm not going to have to worry about burning the chicken. It's going to be on indirect heat. Yeah. So the thing that creates the blackness is not going to be part of what you're going to do.
Yes. And that sauce won't drip down into the heat and flame up and cause more of a burnout.
Exactly.
A blackening experience.
Right. So you're like, what? Okay, so talk about, so if you're going to use a rub, do you do the rub from the start? I don't use a rub. So if you're going to use a rub, do you rub it from the start before you put it on? And then just be mindful of the temperature of the chicken and you sear it and then put it in indirect heat. Talk to me about if you use a rub, how is chicken different?
If you use a rub, you can't leave the grill and you can use the rub before and let it sit overnight, whether it's chicken or ribs, it does not matter.
Right.
And you can start it out on the direct heat and get everything kind of, get your grill marks, which takes a matter of minutes also. And then you take it off the direct heat and set it on the indirect heat. Then you can go about your business. But if you have a digital thermometer, it'll warn you when it's time to flip the chicken or the internal temperature has reached such and such temperature. And then you go back and you flip them again, flip them over again and continue cooking. But yeah, you start it out. You can start that out. Because there's very little oil in that rub and then the moisture has been brought out from putting the rub on and draws the moisture out of the meat. And so you're going to get your grill marks on that chicken or ribs. And then you take it off the direct heat and put it on the indirect heat within a matter of minutes. And so, that's real important. But yes, you can do that. And then if you've put rub on your chicken or ribs, it's on the indirect heat, then you can still sauce it. You can still brush sauce on top of that rub and makes it even more deluxe.
Ooh. That's beyond me. Talk to me about
that's the ultimate.
All right, talk to me about any kind of stuffed grilled chicken that you like or that you mess with or that you would do.
You know what? You can stuff chicken, you know, in the chicken breast. You probably have a boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Right.
And you want to cut a pocket in the chicken breast as center of the chicken breast as you can, and you don't want the knife, your knife blade, to go through the chicken. You want to create a little pocket that only has one opening where you put the stuffing in. And you can make like a little 2-inch slit, and then you take your knife and you go to the right and you cut along the back of the breast and to the, from the, I'm going from right to left.
Okay.
And then pull the knife out, and the slat is only about 2 inches long.
Okay.
But inside the breast, it could be up to 4 inches, depending on the size of your breast.
Right.
And then you put your stuffing in there.
All right. So if you were going to
overstuff it.
Right. So if you were going to do that, it sounds like you haven't done it. If you were going to do that.
Not with chicken.
Right.
I have done it with pork chops.
Okay. Off the top of your head, if you were gonna, you know, stuff a chicken breast.
Yes.
What would you stuff it with?
Oh, I'd stuff it with a mixture of breadcrumbs, some vegetables, you know, onion. It could be some finely diced carrots, onions, peppers, hot or mild peppers, and I personally would put some hard cheese, grated hard cheese, and you make a mixture of all this in a little stainless bowl. So, and, you know, salt and pepper and whatever seasonings you're going to put it, red chili flakes if you like it hot. But then you mix that all up, and you might have a teaspoon of oil, so everything kind of binds, and with the breadcrumbs, or some people would, I wouldn't use an egg to bind. I'd just use an oil, olive oil, but you don't want it loose. You want it, you know, just so the breadcrumbs bind to everything that you're mixing in there. But parsley, oregano, cilantro. That's the word I was looking for.
Cilantro.
In chicken, that's cilantro. That's great. But yes. And then you pack it in there, but not too tight. You don't want a big bulge in there, but you want enough so when you cut into it, it's really good.
How about something with some pineapple in it? So kind of skewing to more the barbecue oriental side of it. If you were going to do something like that, because hot pineapple to me, and it's one thing I love about shish kebab, is the hot vegetables. And I particularly, you know, my mom used to heavy on the pineapple, I acquired a taste for it then. If you're gonna stuff something with pineapple, what would you any thoughts on how you would do that?
You mean in a chicken breast?
Yeah, if you were gonna do that and you were still gonna use
that's one of the things I would use. You can buy a can of crushed pineapple and you strain some of that liquid. There's plenty of moisture in pineapple.
Right.
So that would be your binding. You wouldn't need any olive oil or any kind of liquid.
We wouldn't use fresh pineapple.
Yes. Well, of course you would if you want to do that. Yes. Well,
come on, bro.
I'm just saying. Take that pineapple and peel it and cut it and dice it up. And mix it with some mushroom or peppers. You can throw maybe a little teriyaki sauce in there or Worcestershire, soy sauce, and...
I don't know. Maybe chicken's too hard to do stuffing on the grill. I just thought of whether you like roll it you know, you cook it, and then towards the end of the, maybe halfway through the cooking, as you sauce it, maybe you roll it and you put a toothpick through it, you put some fresh pineapple inside of it, let the pineapple heat up. I don't know. I was just thinking about, like, what, how do you make
now,
it?
Now, you could try that. What you might want to do is you take your chicken breast, you butterfly it, so you have a chicken breast that's connected in the middle, but you butterfly it, fly it, and then you make a stuffing with pineapple and whatever vegetables you want, and you roll it up in a roll, and then you wrap it in bacon.
Ooh.
This would be a good experiment. And you wrap it in bacon, and you put toothpicks in the end of each end of the bacon, and it's totally wrapped around this whole thing, and you cook it. You start it out on the high heat to get the grill marks, but then you take it off, and then you let that bacon that's wrapped around this stuffed chicken breast that's been pounded out and rolled up, that could be quite spectacular. That's something I might have to try this. I will try this up.
I talked myself.
Thank you, Matt.
I talked myself right into that.
I just talked myself into doing that. But instead of making a pocket, butterfly it, pound it out, then you can put more stuff in there because you'll have a little mini log that's wrapped in bacon. And as we know, Mac and I love bacon.
Yeah, come on. Everybody loves bacon. Yeah, a little pineapple, a little bacon, little chicken.
You can do some, make up your own teriyaki sauce with, brown sugar, and you can baste it. You can baste the outside.
See, now we're getting,
when it's on indirect heat.
Now we're getting creative.
You following me, folks?
Hello.
Yeah, you have your little mixture that's been heated on the stove and melted and blended, and then you take it out and you put it by your grill, and then when you're on indirect heat, you start basting this, and it penetrates into the bacon and the chicken. Oh, my God, you'll have something that could be award-winning.
And that's
something.
And that's it.
I've got to try. That's brilliant, Mac.
That's the experimenting part that you love about that.
I do love to do that, and that's going to be pretty cool.
No, I mean, but again, it's something that most people do, you know, throughout the summer on a regular basis, and I don't think it takes a whole lot. For instance, to get a pineapple, to get a little fresh pineapple, to maybe roll it and pound it out and roll it, and then, as you said, put a little extra into that sauce. That's not a whole lot of extra work for something, and then throw a little bacon in there. Something that, you know, that's like, now you're getting off the hook. Like, hey, where did this come from? And again, it very much in keeping with a lot of my mom's recipes is that they're not complicated.
No, it's not complicated, and that basting sauce could be done a few days ahead. And once it's all blended and the brown sugar is melted, and you can put chopped up pineapple in there, or put all of this sauce in, cook the pineapple and then put it in a blender if you want and mix it, or dice up the pineapple. What I would do, real fine, and throw it in this marinade stuff. Plus, you have some pineapple inside, and then you can keep this in the refrigerator for a couple of weeks, and pull it out, and you can not only do the rolled up chicken breast wrapped in bacon, but you could use that as a sauce for marinating whatever you want. Shish kebabs, anything. Steaks, you know, a teriyaki marinade like that is so versatile.
Yeah, and then you can make it your own little, you know, your own little signature, right? Your own little signature marinade.
It's your thing. Yeah.
No, and again, so really it starts out as just your basic, you know, we're going to grill some chicken, right? By the time you, well, what's that for? It's just a little, put a little bacon wrap on it, and then, then put a little this drizzle on it, and you tell me what you think. And before you know it, somebody's like going, oh my God, this is absolutely delicious. And again, it's no extra work. It is, but it's fantastic. And so, and like you said, that's the thing about cooking that I think I've become attracted to is really good food with not out a whole lot of effort. And then if you do the basic things, especially with grilling that Kim has taught us over the years, and that is, you know, sear and get that stuff to indirect heat, use your digital meat thermometer and boom.
That's right.
You can't screw it up. You can't screw it up. So, anyway.
All right. It's all right.
You have any big plans for the weekend?
Well, it's sports weekend. We got hoops tonight and possibly Sunday, seventh game, NBA.
So what do you think?
Baseball.
Do you think we want a seventh game? Do you think there will be a seventh game?
I kind of do because of the way Golden State handled themselves in Toronto.
Yeah, I agree.
And says, not tonight, boys.
Yeah.
And came back at the end after they were behind by 6 points.
Yeah, this will be the last game
and
ever.
Lost by a point.
Yeah, this will be the last game ever played in the Oakland. Used to be called the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, and it was it's the football stadium connected by a tunnel, right? The football baseball stadium connected to a tunnel to the I don't even know what they call that thing, the arena. So there's the Coliseum is a baseball football stadium, and the arena is the basketball hockey venue. And so thing was opened in 1968. I know that because my dad was a member of the Oakland A's in 1968, and it's a horrible baseball facility.
Yeah.
And then and the California Golden Seals, Charlie Finley, who owned the A's, bought the hockey team, and they wore white skates because the A's wore white shoes. The Golden Seals were white skates. It was awful.
That's awful. Great.
But yeah, it'll be the last game ever played there. So the fans will be going crazy.
I think Golden State has a good shot of winning tonight.
Yeah. So you combine that again. But the thing that is again, Toronto had that game won in Toronto. And
yes, it did.
Golden State got off the floor, and you know the whole not so fast, my friend. And that is the championship pedigree. And so you combine that with overheated fans, and it ought to be a great contest. So we'll see. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
Good luck in Pendleton tomorrow.
Yeah.
And thank you for today.
Nope. Always
and I will see everyone next week. Have a great week. And you will be talking serious grilling. And get your questions ready. Because we'll have the answers.
There's the show.
Or at least attempt.
There you go. A good attempt.
Thank you. Thank you, Mac.
You bet. That is the All Marine Radio Head Chef. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. That'll do it on a Friday. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. Yeah, I got invited by the Commandant to the Passage of Command. Boom. That's right. The Commandant's Protocol Office. Hello. You might be somebody if... That's right. Anyway, have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. If you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. We're going to talk about the Iranians and their shit show they have going. I'm headed down to talk to the 5th Marine Regiment. And actually, I'm talking to them right now. That's right as you listen to this. So anyway, have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day on a Friday. All Marine Radio is over and out.